Welcome to the King's Chapel Alaska podcast. From wherever you are listening, we are so excited that you tuned in today. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word.
Got a powerful word to preach to you from Luke chapter 19. And why don't you go ahead and turn there. While you're turning to Luke 19, let me say also along the line of the announcements, Wednesday, Holy Ghost night, I'll be preaching. It's Passover Wednesday, so I'm going to share some themes about that, and we're going to flow in the Holy Ghost. It's going to be amazing. You don't want to miss that. And then, of course, Easter Sunday is next Sunday right here. We'll be taking communion again, BYOC, bring your own communion. And we had some plans to do things in the Walmart parking lot and such, and it just hasn't worked out. So we're going to go ahead and just bring it right here and have a great, great time, 9 and 11 o'clock, and of course, 6 p.m. Easter evening. And then Wednesday, as I said, 7 p.m., the Passover. We'll teach you along those lines and some of the themes out of the Passover tying in from the Old Testament into the New Testament to help you. Luke 19. Also, this week, I was with other pastors and leaders, about 50 people on a phone call with the Governor Dunleavy of the state of Alaska, and a man of faith. He's was clearly communicating that he, you know, I could hear his love for the Lord, and we opened up in prayer, and it was a powerful time. And we brought different concerns. There was five different concerns that were brought before him. And we have been designated an essential business. Now, let me say that we were designated before that, by my estimation of things, as we followed through with the protocol that they asked us to do, submitting to the state why we're an essential business and what we do that's essential. And here's our premise, so you understand. Our premise is that we are essential, just like a Fred Meyer's or a Kars or a Costco or a bank or a gas station would be essential. The church is essential. And honestly, I think we're even more essential. And so we went ahead to prove that and to show that. And as good citizens, we have submitted to helping the process of flattening the curve and believing God in Jesus' name to totally wipe the thing out. Even by Passover, it would mutate and disappear and go away. We're not afraid of getting the sickness or the disease, but we're going to be good neighbors, and we're going to honor our government at this time. How many of you know there can come times when government would then begin to place themselves, and may this time never come, but the government at times in time, history gone by would then place themselves over God's word and the mandate from God's word. And as it says in Acts 4, far be it for us to obey you rather than God. We cannot help but testify. So if there ever comes a time when they say that you cannot meet or you can't ever meet and you can't preach the gospel and you can't lay hands on if they ever try to hem us in and shut us down, we'll be full-blown going for what the Lord said. And the problem right now is so many people are attached to stuff, attached to things. And there is some talk about mandatory vaccinations. So let me just say this. You know, if there's mandatory vaccinations, that's a scary thing. So you can't meet unless you're vaccinated. And then there's talking about digital tracking, as they've done in China and different places, where they can find out if you've been vaccinated and you're now digitally tracked where you're sitting. And if you were sitting next to somebody that had a disease, then they can come to your house. No, I'm telling you, I'm never going to get mandatorily vaccinated. Not going to do that. That's another way of taking the mark, if you ask me. So it's pretty intense time. So we're submitting along as good citizens and continuing to gather. Why do we gather? Why are you in the parking lot right now? Because we're the church, number one. That's the main reason. We're the church. We're the gathered people of God, the called out of darkness, washed in the blood, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We're new creations, and gathering is actually a part of your walk with the Lord. So we're to gather together, absolutely. Now, that's number one. Number two, we're citizens of the United States of America, I think most of us. And we have a constitution that we live under. In the Article 1 of the Constitution, we have the freedom to practice religion, and Congress can't do anything about that. That's the First Amendment. Number two, you can peaceably, and this is not in order, but you can peaceably gather, peaceably, And that's what we're doing. Number three, there's freedom of speech. So, and there's actually five rights of the First Amendment. Those are just three. So we can do that, and we will do that. And that has been the argument. And so if you'll pray for me as God leads us along this path as we endeavor to be good citizens and to be an essential business even as never before, can you say hallelujah? All right, Luke 19. Y'all there? Here we go. Luke 19, verse 28. Luke 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" Everybody say, "The Lord needs it." The Lord needs it. Verse 32. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. They were untying the colt, and the owners asked him, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." Come on, say it again. The Lord needs it. Verse 35. And they brought it to Jesus and threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, while a crowd of his disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud, what kind of voices? Loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. And verse 38, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he said, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. And he said, "Peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side, and then will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Let's pray. Father, I thank you that as citizens of the United States of America, we can freely gather here and in the parking lot. And in fact, it's crucial and important to gather as the church, the ecclesia, the called out, blood-bought church, your bride. I pray that you'd move and speak and stir in the hearts of every single person listening, those that will listen in the future, that we'd never be the same because of your word that goes forth and doesn't return void. I thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke. I thank you for the power of God that shatters sickness and disease. I thank you that you, by your Spirit, are going to write on the fleshly tablets of our heart. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. There are profound moments in history that never come again. There's Kairos and Chronos time. Kairos and Chronos. Kairos is time in succession. Chronos is time in succession. Kairos is where time and destiny meet. So Kairos is a moment that comes that never comes again, like the COVID-19 virus is a Kairos moment in the world that'll go down into history books, so long as I don't change history, which some are trying to revise it and change it. As a moment where this pandemic swept the earth, and there's been other moments like that in history. And you think about the time when you turned 12. That was a Kairos moment. You're never going to turn 12 again. That's it. A Kairos moment. This, that text that we read here, Luke 19, is a Kairos moment. A moment that came, that was prophesied, that would never come again. A moment when the Messiah, the anointed one, would ride triumphantly into Jerusalem. He said, "Is that prophesied?" "Oh, yes, it is." And I want you to go there, if I can, go there with me, please, to Daniel chapter 9. There's a couple different prophetic fulfillment, a couple different scriptures that are being prophetically fulfilled in the Jesus riding triumphantly in. First of all, Zechariah 9. Well, you're going to Daniel 9, but Zechariah 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on the colt, a foal of a donkey. So that's being fulfilled. In the book of Daniel, now this is about 500 years prior to Jesus riding this donkey. An angel appeared to the prophet Daniel and told him about the time that's marked out by God, through which to then the Messiah would be manifested. And I want to read this to you and then go through the time clock just a little bit. And I think I do this just about every single Palm Sunday because it's amazing. Traditional text for Palm Sunday is John 12. But Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, let me read it to you. And know this. From the ensuing of the decree to restore, to rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes. So it gives a time frame. From the ensuing of the decree to restore Jerusalem. When is that? It's in Nehemiah 2, actually. So later on in Nehemiah 2, a decree is given. And that starts a time clock. And then it gives a time period. And it's in biblical language. So if you don't study it, you wouldn't understand it. But it says the anointed one, the ruler, comes. There will be seven times seven is 49, 62 sevens, that's 434. It will be rebuilt. It's with streets, a trench, but in times of trouble. After 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off. So it gives this time frame very clearly in the book of Daniel as angel giving a message to the prophet. Now, here's the thing. Say, well, that's a, well, you start doing the math, you figure out actually when that day is, and I'll tell you that in just a moment. If you say, well, that was written by man, I mean, that probably went back and figured it out. Math, yeah, no, because Daniel wrote that before Jesus ever came to the earth. We have the Dead Sea Scrolls that predate the advent of Christ and the book of Daniel. So that's kind of amazing. So Daniel was told that 490 years must run their course before all of God's events and the Messiah, the anointed one, would come. Wow. 483 of those years would be marked off by the arrival of Jerusalem Messiah and the Prince. Let me read this to you. A brilliant lawyer by the name of Sir Robert Anderson from England's famed Scotland Yard, also an avid, devout Bible student, in his precise training and logic, analyzed the book of Daniel and determined the exact date the decree of Artaxerxes was issued. It was March 28th, 445 BC. Counting from that date, and you see that in Nehemiah 2, making the necessary corrections for calendar errors, he determined on April 6, AD 32, Jesus rode in Jerusalem, exactly 483 years later, exactly like the book of Daniel said. Wow. A time clock. God has moments in time. And we are in his time clock, if you would. We're in this moment of time. Prophets have been talking a lot and sharing about dreams. I went back and forth with Perry Stone. And that always amazes me that I got to be friends with Perry Stone. We're just instant brothers. I love him so much. And we text on and off throughout these weeks. And he was telling me about the vision that he had of empty cities. You can go to his website and see that and hear him talk about that. And he told me this week, he said, this is that vision coming to pass. And if you look in Los Angeles and the different major cities around America, the streets are empty. It's astounding. He was talking about a number of months will pass and then things will come back. He said, this is not the end. He felt like the Lord spoke to him and this is not the end, but we're getting closer. Another friend of ours had a powerful prophetic dream where the fire of God came into his room and touched him and began to prophesy. And he saw a hand coming upon our nation and wiping out this coronavirus, but a shaking would take place in the body of Christ, that a shaking would take place in the nation to separate the goats and the sheep. A shaking would take place in the body of Christ, for God is coming for a spotless bride. And there are so many that have a walk with the Lord that doesn't, that's not holy, that's just sort of a sort of religious game. It's not time to play religious games. It's time to get serious and become a worshiper. Well, the rocks will even cry out. It's time to draw close to God. It's time to get on fire. We're living in a moment in history that'll never come again. And God is looking to us, his people, his bride, to be those five wise virgins with our lamps filled with oil and our wicks trimmed as we look for his redemption that draws nigh. Can you say hallelujah in the house of God? And the Pharisees here, two different groups of people in this text, Pharisees and disciples. Pharisees weren't ready for the moment. They were blinded. And the disciples, well, they were. It requires some discernment. And so recognizing the time in that we're in and preparing for what I believe is our finest hour. Our finest hour. Right from the text, verse 29 and 30 in Luke 19, verse 29 and 30. Verse 30, he sends them off. He says, go into the village opposite you. Where you enter, you'll find a colt tied, which no one has ever sat on. This is a fulfillment of Zechariah 9. And you know what it says to me? It says that we're important to God. I want you to say this. Say, I'm important. I'm important to God. I mean, Jesus could have just had the donkey come. He could have just had the, he could have just come and just gone. No, he uses people and he used his disciples. You're important to God. I'm important to God. Your kids are important to God. Your family's important to God. Come on, understand that God loves you. You say, but Pastor, what am I going to do? I've been laid off. Or what about my ministry? What about your ministry? God loves you. If he authored it, he's going to bring it to pass. If God brought it, come on, he brought you this far. He's not going to let you go. Oh, yeah, that which is not of God might be shaken and fall apart, but that which is going to stay, is going to remain until the end, and even into the age to come. Can you say hallelujah? Come on, we're important to God. We have a purpose. Come on, say, I've got a purpose. I have a purpose. Say it again. I have a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You have a hope and a future. Say it. I have a hope and a future. You're not only important to God, but God's got a purpose for the reason you're breathing. It's not, you're not taking up space. The purpose is not to watch endless movies during COVID-19, suffer and die. The purpose of God is to love him and to be used by him to spread his kingdom, to love God and to be a deliverer of men. It's to love God and serve him and fulfill your purpose of exalting and lifting him up so that when you stand before him, here's what real success is. Real success is that when you come before the throne, you hear him on that great day when we meet him there. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what real success is. That really is. Come on, you're important to God. You've got a purpose. And the other thing that this says to me, they went and they got this Aquinas Africanus Asinus. That's the formal species name for a jackass. Or King James, or donkey. What does that mean, Pastor? Listen, you don't just take a colt, a donkey that's never been ridden on before and just jump on it. Any horse people out there, anybody know anything about wild animals? You don't just get on one because they buck. No. Not this donkey. This donkey was submitted to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Jesus was placed on him. You know what that said? What are you saying, Pastor? Some of you are like a donkey, and God can bring order to your messed up, jacked up life. And even though you're rebellious and angry and stubborn and you kick against the Lord and you kick against family, you got relationships. I mean, I mean, you need order. You need help. You need deliverance. Come on. I love the species name. Where is it? Aquinas Africanus Asinus. I like that. Formal species name. If you're like that, if you're like a donkey, you can get order. You can get free. You can get delivered. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Number three, the Lord needs you. You're important to God. He can bring. You have a purpose. He can bring order to your life. Number three, He needs you. He wants to use you. You and I are the only ones that can preach the good news of Jesus. No matter what station you find yourself in life, he has purpose for you. Now, the second thing I see in the text here is this: they praise Jesus for what he, for who he is and what he's done. And again, John 12 is that traditional Palm Sunday text, but it's a picture of how to worship God. Now, this will destroy the somber tones of dead worship, because they, with loud voices, they're filled with joy. They're filled with joy. They've got loud voices. There's clapping. There's dancing. They're throwing their coats on the ground. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. It's a picture of what real worship is. It's a, come on, lift your hands and have a praise break. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, worship. Come on, put your hands together for God. Lean on your horn if you're out there. God is. Come on, worship him. You were dead. You were broken. You were lost. He came and he set you free. Come on, beep your horn and clap and shout. Hey, thank you, God. I was broken. I was left for dead and you came and you set me free. You delivered me from the yoke of bondage. You washed me. You cleansed me. You made me new. I'm not going to let a rock out praise me. No way. And I'm not going to be intimidated by a pharisaical spirit that'd tell me just to be quiet and behave myself. I used to be a donkey and he set me free. Can you say hallelujah? Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory to God. The Pharisees are a picture of Satan. The Pharisees are a picture of Satan trying to rob you, trying to get you to shut up and social distance the rest of your life. The Pharisees are a picture to get you just to be quiet. You don't need to gather. You don't need to meet. You don't lift your hands. I'm going to tell you something. The church will always gather. Somebody said, well, the church didn't meet in a building. What do you know, you moron? They met in temples. They met in synagogues. And they met in homes. All of those are places. All of those are buildings. And yes, you can meet outside. We need to gather and we need to lift our voice and not let a pharisaical spirit shut us up. Don't ever be shut up by government. Don't ever be shut up by shame. Don't ever be shut up by a pharisaical spirit that'll tell you just to be quiet, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, quit yelling out. Yeah, Bartimaeus got a new set of eyes. I will tell you, there's a praise that'll bring and release miracles that a silent worship never will. There's a prayer that's exuberant and filled with zeal and passion and fervent that a quiet meditative prayer will never touch. There's touching the hem of his garment that looks like you're risking your very life, that you'll never touch the hem of his garment if you don't have that kind of zeal, that kind of passion. Don't let the God of this age dumb you down and make you into some little religious person. Don't let a pharisaical spirit, don't let Satan attempt you. Don't let Satan attempt to stop your praise. The third thing I see here on this Palm Sunday is don't harden your heart. This can be a frightening time. This can be a frightening time for many people. Jesus comes and he weeps over Jerusalem and he weeps over them because he's got a passion for souls. He's got a passion to reach people. He weeps over them. He saw their judgment, verse 43. Wow. Verse 43. They'll come, they'll build embankments around you. 40 years later, that would take place. But you know what that is also, and I'll tell you about that. It's the Roman soldier Titus, General Titus. I'll tell you about that in a second. But that is also a picture of being embanked around and destroyed within your walls. It's a picture of dead denominations. And it's also a picture of government coming around and shutting the church up. That the church cannot be silenced. Don't ever take the mark. Don't ever be silenced. We have the incredible right to be able to boldly declare Jesus Christ crucified and boldly pray and gather and meet here in the United States. That's not the case in every nation. It is the case here. Don't ever give that up. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Roman General Titus comes. He brings his army and a prolonged siege on Jerusalem, and eventually they overcame The command of the general was to not burn the temple, but they burned it anyway. And all the gold of the temple melted into the rocks of the stones of the temple. And what the soldiers did is they pried up all the stones, and the fulfillment that not one stone would be left on top of another was brought to fulfillment. Wow. He said, you did not know the time of your visitation or the day of your visitation. He's talking about Daniel 9. That specific day, AD 32 in April, that God, the Messiah, the anointed one, the ruler, would ride into Jerusalem. You say, whoa, yeah, and here's the thing. Today is your day. Today is the day for the church. Today is the day to rise and to stand, to pray and believe for souls. If it wasn't, then we would all not be here. There will come a time. The sound of a trumpet and the great catching away, as Thessalonians says, a time of the rapture, a time when the church will be no more and that which restrains is taken away. I'll preach on it in the coming weeks, if not sooner. There's coming an end to all of this. Their eyes were blind. The Pharisees were blind. Stay open to receiving from God this time and the hour that we're living in. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't ever miss a good, waste a good trial. Allow for God to put fresh power and anointing on you. Be open to receiving from the Lord. The voice of the Lord is distinct. Learn to hear his voice. Learn to hear the voice of God. You can miss God's best right now. You can miss God's best. You can lose out with God. I said you can lose out with God. Somebody said, well, the word says that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. That's true. It's absolutely true. He never will, but you can leave him. Don't lose out with God. Don't lose out on what God's best is, peace. He's got peace for you. Peace like a river. Joy like a fountain. You can experience great loss in life. But this is just a momentary passing through. This is not the end. This is not it, but the end is soon. The end is coming. I don't know how many more years, 3 years, 7 years. I honestly hope that the Lord doesn't come back all that quick. Why is that? Well, I'm sort of changing my tune a little bit here. We start going to great tribulation, you'll want him to come back real quick. if you start really going through tribulation, you're like, Jesus, dude, that's enough. Let's all go home now. And that's how that could be, I'm sure, pre-trib. But I'm hoping that things hold off a little bit, selfishly, honestly. I feel like I just got started. Is there anybody else feel like you just got started? I feel like I just got saved. Come on, I look forward to giving my daughter away to Mr. Wright. I know his name, Hannah. His name's Mr. Wright. I look forward to that. I look forward to seeing my son married. I look forward to grandchildren. Those are things that we look forward to, Pastor Karen and I. Look forward to grandchildren and all that. But understand that the glory that is yet to be revealed is far greater than anything you cannot imagine. You can't imagine the glory. Oh, you think as a little girl, the glory of the wedding that you'll one day have. Oh, his glory is far more than anything that would pale in comparison. To experience his power, to enter in the great cloud of witnesses and come before his throne with one gate is one big pearl. The streets are paved with gold. We worship him forever and ever. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. My. All of that will dwarf every other hope and dream. And then there's a 1,000-year rule and reign. We're going to live forever with them. We're going to live forever. That's if you've received Jesus. If you haven't done that, won't you do it on Palm Sunday? Palm Sunday is a good day to get right with God. Hey, look, any day is a good day to get right with God. Won't you give your life to Jesus all across this place? Those listening on 1610 AM, those on the podcast, those on the web stream, those on YouTube, those on Facebook. If you're not right with God, don't turn off this broadcast. as the word has gone out now, give your life to Christ. You'll never regret it. Give your life to Jesus. Or recommit to him. If you drifted, recommit to him. Recommit to him. Sell out. Don't let the rocks out praise you. Sell out. Don't be like a Pharisee. Be a disciple of the Lord Jesus all of your life. The best is yet to come. If that's you, you want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time or make a recommitment to him, won't you just pray this prayer with us right now? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place and to rise again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin and be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for dying and rising again from the grave so that I could have newness of life. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Let me pray for you. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd come and fill and touch every single heart. Come right now, touch every single heart like a wave of your power. Come across the parking lot. Come across every single heart, every boy, every girl. Holy Spirit, like fresh fire, like fresh rain, let the power of your Spirit come now. Fill every single one. Fear, I command you in the name of Jesus. Loose your hold from my people. Loose your hold from the people of God. Break your hold. Coronavirus, I command you in Jesus' name to be cursed. Reverse, mutate, and die in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.